Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Hello, good evening, good night. Tonight, today, tomorrow, forevermore on this episode, we're going to talk about feeling fucking exhausted.
Yes.
Because we're tired and we feel very just hazy this evening.
We can't folks. Take it anymore.
We cannot.
I'm tired. What's the line from Network?
I'm pissed off and I don't want to shit anymore.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah,
I forget the exact line. It's one of the most famous lines of cinema. And we're so tired that we can't even remember it.
I think it's
what the line is.
I'm pissed off. I'm mad and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to take shit in my dick.
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's
we're also going to mention Preparation H, Preparation Hate. What is it?
Preparation Hate.
Do you need it? Is it in your cabinet? Jeff was going to let us in on that. And then after that, I'm going to do a weather report.
We're going to do a weather report. That reminds me of it was a gag item. It was called a weather rock. And then it was a rock that they sold like in. Usually, like in Gallenberg, at some like hick store where it's like, hey, we're all Appalachian. We live in the woods.
We all wear marigolds.
Yeah. We wear marigolds and eat intestines and put them on our penises. But it was like a weather rock. And it's like, if the rock is wet, it's raining. If the rock is dry, it's not raining. If the rock is moving, it's windy.
Oh man, so is that like in the same vein as like the pet rock?
You know, I was around when pet rocks originally came around. And what a brilliant idea and what a wonderful description of what capitalism is just it's just empty and nothingness.
Well, I'm wondering if they were like, fuck, we got all this back stock of pet rocks. What are we going to do with it? Hold on. It's a weather rock now. We're going to change
weather rock now. Now it's a weather rock.
Throw them out there. Tell people if it's raining, it gets wet.
man.
And
we need to do our shout outs first.
Yeah,
we need to shout out to Tiffy, because if we do not, our pact with the devil ends and we will turn into dust. So Tiffy, we love you. We're very glad that you listened to us. And was it Vivian? Vivian reached out and said, thanks for the shout out. I don't think I know Vivian, but she said something on one of our posts about thanks for the shout out. And we are so happy that you're listening to us.
Yeah, Vivian is a friend of mine that has been like listening since the beginning. So Vivian, thank you for continuing to listen. And if you don't listen, that's okay too, because we won't know that.
Right.
So it's okay.
Exactly. We'll never know.
We'll never know. We'll know people aren't listening, but we're not going to figure it out.
I think that's enough for today. I mean, and anybody, again, we have so many wonderful people in this community. And so we're just glad you're listening. Or even if you're not listening, if you're our friend, and even if you're not our friend, we're just happy that you exist in your own space and that you are living your life in some sort of way that might give somebody or yourself some kind of happiness.
And if you happen to be existing, why not exist with us and let us know you want a shout out?
Yeah, we'll shout you out.
We'll shout it out. We will shout it out loud. I feel like there's things I can't say. But I don't think it really matters. I mean, shout out to the group chat, right? Everyone's got a group chat.
We do have a group chat. Yeah, shout to them.
Thanks, group
Shout
chat.
Shout to the group chat.
Thanks, group chat. And that includes all of yins that are in it. All right, let's fucking kick the chair. You just want to
dive into it?
Yeah, let's fucking so let's tie the knot on this.
As a young man, and you're a much younger man than I, but as a young man, I enjoyed the idea of fine food, and it doesn't mean a fine food restaurant necessarily, although that's nice. But it was like, oh, I want to eat nachos tonight. And I thought about the nachos, and it's like, this is going to be delicious. And now just when I get home, I just shove something in my face, because if I don't, I'll get dizzy and pass out. Mm-hmm. But I don't care what it is. I don't care what it tastes like. I just find something to eat. And I'm eating simply so that I can continue to exist. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, I feel like God just hates us, because the whole idea of, like, so you got to eat and then you got to poop and pee. And it's just like, sometimes I'm just like, I got to poop, but I don't want to poop. Like, there were days in my old days where it's like you took a dump and it was like one of the best things ever. It's just like, this is like, oh, yeah, awesome. I'm expunging shit from my body. And I'm like, this is good. And it's just like, I'm getting stuff out. Now it's just like, maybe I can wait till tomorrow morning to take a dump. Maybe I can make it through the night so I don't actually have to go in there and go through this again today.
Oh, Jeff. Like, this is completely true, and I have no problem sharing it with you. And maybe this is going to gross everyone out, but I had to wake up in the middle of the night to poop. It was
like, were you having cramps?
I don't know. Like, it just, like, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night to pee, and then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then.
That gets worse too as you get older. Right. So, like, if you're doing it once now, triple it.
Right. But, like, it's been a little less frequent recently since I've been cutting out carbs more out of my diet.
Nice.
Which is nice. But, yeah, I just felt the grumbling, and I felt like my downstairs kind of pucker up, and yeah, it was,
yep.
I did not want to shit the bed, literally, so I went and pooped. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned the food thing, because that's been when I feel very exhausted and low, and I don't know if it's depressed or what, but like, food doesn't become enjoyable anymore. It becomes a way to just survive. Like, I have to eat something, even if it's just one thing today. Like, sometimes I will forget to eat and eat just so little.
Yeah. I mean, there are times that I enjoy eating. Like, there are times, like, I usually eat something at lunch that is like good, that I enjoy. Although sometimes I'm just eating to eat. But when I get home, it's just like, you know, I'm just going to get enough calories in my body to make it till I can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I can start all over again the next day.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering, like, what's got us feeling so low, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. We talked about maybe the season change could be part of it. I don't know, man. I think for me, it's paying too much attention to the world and what's going on in the world, and just realizing that we're just going in a direction that's not good.
No, it is not, Jeff. It really is not going in a good direction. And I think it's hard for at least me and maybe a lot of people to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't pay attention. Maybe I shouldn't care anymore. Because I don't know if I can fix it.
Well, I don't think not caring is necessarily the right approach, because I feel like, as in a society, we have a duty to care.
Duty.
About,
you said I, duty.
We have a duty to care about these things, like, just as humans, as people, to care about each other. It's this fucking system that we've built. It's this fucking the way that things are, and just accepting that the things are this way. And if more people didn't just check out and not care, but tried to actively do something, I say all this and I'm a fucking lazy sack of shit. So don't.
You know, I think you and I both care. We both care about people and we care about social justice and we care about things. Mm-hmm. I don't care about, I'm getting to the point where I really don't care about people in politics. I just feel like there's just so much yuck in there, mm-hmm. but I do care about individual people.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to talk to individual people, and we like to make people laugh, and so that's fun. And mm-hmm. and we care about people, not just people that we know, but we care about other people. So it's like, how do you detach yourself from the crap that you can't control and is so yucky, and just focus maybe on trying to make somebody's day better or make your day better, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Well, it's like, because I ask myself that a lot, and I'm just thinking out loud, so this might sound really dumb. But at least for me, it's like we're very caught up on this big picture when we're not paying attention to, like, the paint strokes of it, so to speak.
Yeah,
like,
the tiny little pieces of it, the minutia that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it does absolutely start at this small level. Like you try to help and improve the community around you, and that helpfulness and that gratitude and sense of community and togetherness is going to end up spreading. Like, yeah, there's going to be people that are going to take it down, but like that's you, if you stay strong, you can love can overcome everything.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. You're totally right to reframe that a little bit. We get caught up in the big picture and we feel helpless when there are things we can do on the small scale, even if it's just being kind to people. You know, this is going to be a total, like, just jump. But have you heard of the band Ween?
I love Ween.
You do love Ween.
Yeah.
So I for some reason have started listening to Ween, and I was turned off to Ween because a friend of mine played me one of their songs, which was really disturbing to me. And it sort of, it made my stomach hurt. And I was just like, I'm not going to listen to this band because I assumed that this was their music.
Oh, and yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they're very eclectic.
Yeah, so the song that was the spinal meningitis song that he played for me because he thought it was funny.
And that is a very creepy song.
It made my stomach hurt. Baby, mammy. Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
So, but I've started listening to their other music, and it's pretty good. I mean, mm-hmm. Some of it's just amazing pop music, a little Beatlesque, and then the country songs and stuff. So, anyway, the reason I bring that up is because I feel like there's a band called the Bloodhound Gang.
Yes.
Which I feel like is trying to copy Ween, and they're doing a terrible job about it. They're like thinking they're smart and they're talented, but they're not. They're just dumb.
Well, that's,
and so Ween is smart about it. There's talent there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talent there.
And that's also the thing is that, like, I mean, there's that quote that a great artist still, right? I don't know who that's attributed to.
Yeah.
But. So, I mean,
or was it like good artists borrow, great artists steal?
Yeah. Like the thing is that like your influencers are going to show in anything that you create or think about or
right.
even like attempt to do. Like there's so many times where I've tried to write a song and it just sounds like a Modest Mouse song or a Man song.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck.
Yeah. But you know what? The Beatles early music sounded like the other rock and roll at the time. They were copying Chuck Berry and Elvis and Little Richard. That's who they were listening to, and they were copying, and then they were like, so this is us copying, and then they're like, now we're going to do the stuff we want to do that we write.
Yeah.
And then people are copying them and going, oh, we like the Beatles, so we're going to do this, and then we're going to add our little swing to it. So
yeah, because
it's
also,
just the way it works.
There's also that David Lynch. Is it David Lynch or maybe Werner
Herzog?
Yeah, someone said it, And it was very beautifully put that, like, yeah, that thing might be out there, but it's not been out there said by you. Because you're going to have
a different... And in filmmaking...
Oh, go ahead.
In filmmaking, it's an homage. It's taking somebody's... the way somebody does something and copying it, but doing it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so it's... I don't know. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. But it's just, you know, of course things are going to be similar. And then you've got the whole collective unconscious idea, right? That we've all got this little pot of ideas that we're pulling from.
Oh, yeah.
And so it may feel like we're stealing or taking, but we're just like going from there's an idea. There's a limited amount of ideas in the consciousness of the world. And so sometimes we're just grabbing hold of the con, it, you know, it's like in Hollywood. I'm all over the place tonight. In Hollywood, how they'll like, you know, it's all of a sudden they'll release like a volcano movie, and there's like three of them all at once. We're starting a volcano movie, and it's just like, it's just the way the way it works, the way creativity works.
Yeah, it. I mean, and again, like if you're a creative person, you're going to take in art, you're going to take in movies. If you're a filmmaker, you're going to watch movies. If you're a musician, you're going to listen to music. If you're a poet, yeah, you're going to read poems. Like, and even like you kind of said, like, I don't know if I believe that there is like a finite number of how many creative ideas there is. I like to think that it's limitless. It's like hodgepodge and different things together and shit like that. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, they're doing this Dutch angle, but I want to do it this way and fucking shit the bed.
I mean, you look at like the work of Brian De Palma. Mm-hmm. You look at Dressed to Kill. It's Psycho. It mm-hmm. is Psycho. It's copying Psycho almost to a T. And he throws in some interesting things in it. And so it's about saying, I like Psycho, but I'm going to try to do something in a little different way, mm-hmm. but I'm really copying the story of Psycho.
Yeah.
And so, but he did it in a totally different way, and it was a cool movie.
And that's a really good example. And like, kind of just on that train of thought of like, it's when I say it's everything around you, like you have bad influences too, that still seep in through anything you create also, you know?
Yes.
Like, sometimes you're just like, you know what, we don't need the mic. we can get the audio just fine in camera, I think. I don't know, like,
yes, exactly. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah,
we'll fix it in post just like everybody else does.
So I don't know, I might cut all this out, Jeff, just because of the mentioning of it. But
you could bleep it, maybe bleep it.
Yeah.
Make it sound like we're cursing. Just put a bunch of bleeps in here all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like when bleep did the fucking
you know something that we have not talked about and we probably should have, but we need to shout out to our visual effects team. They are working hard every week to bring you the visual effects that you see when you watch this podcast.
Yeah. Did you get around to seeing that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's all in your head, but I feel like we are, whatever you see, it's our visual effects dudes and dudettes.
Yeah.
We'll not even use gender. We'll just say people, folks.
Our VFX people. Folks. Actually, you know, we can give a quick shout out to Cody for making the visualizer.
Cody and Ken, who have been involved from the beginning.
We're doing shout outs fucking 19 minutes into the episode.
It's because I screwed up and talked about all the stuff I wasn't supposed to talk about.
No, you can talk about whatever you want, Jeff.
No, I'm feeling censored. I'm feeling judged and censored.
No judge. No judgment. No censor.
No judgment.
I say I'm going to cut it, but I'm going to leave it in. I'm even going to leave it in me.
You can cut it, man. I don't know. You know,
this might not get released.
This podcast is one of the bright spots of my week of recording this and having an interaction with another human being.
That you kind of enjoy.
Yeah. I felt really numb a lot lately, and it's just like sort of like a friend is letting me borrow his Xbox, and I bought this game called Crash Bandicoot.
I love
that. Is an old, you know, it's a remix of the old ones, and I love those games. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get this game, and I'm gonna play it, and I put it on, and I'm just like, this game's really annoying. This game is absolutely no fun at all. It just frustrates me.
Why is
it? And I'm just like, I love that game.
Why does it frustrate you, Jeff?
Well, I mean, you got limited lives. You've only got checkpoints so far. And so I was about to finish a level, but then my lives ran out. So you got to start the whole level over. And I'm just like, I don't have the energy to swim through this level. It was a swimming level.
Whoa, Crash has a...
Which are my least favorite levels in the game. Yeah. Swimming's the worst.
Yeah, swimming levels. Guys, what was that in the 80s and 90s? Why an underwater? Why was there like, oh, there's got to be an underwater level. We gotta represent all the fucking ecosystem the elements. Yeah, the guys, all the elements need to be in there.
It's just so they can show the physics of their... engine that makes it different to walk and swim. And it's just like, I don't like to swim. I don't like flying levels. I don't like swimming levels.
No, flying levels
just keep
fun.
On the ground, right?
I like flying levels.
I mean, anything though that where you're moving and you can't like control the speed, because there's like a thing in the level where you grab, it's like, I guess it's like a underwater jet ski. But then it's like it just moves forward, so you can't control anything.
Oh, no, you gotta swerve.
Yeah, man. And there's sharks and stuff and, like, mines and piranha fish.
See,
I mean, it's just totally unrealistic for a bandicoot to actually do those kind of things.
Why would a bandicoot be in the Arctic? I don't know. Maybe someone's gonna...
There's a lot of ice levels, and ice is better than swimming.
Yeah, but well, no, ice. See, I don't like ice levels because they make you slip and slide all over the place.
Yeah.
You can't get a firm... See, Jeff, when I play a video game, it's very much like just like stumble my way through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stumbling.
Yeah, I can see
maybe doing drugs and playing that, and it might be really fun, like smoking some pot or something. And
yeah, Jeff, you're talking about an American pastime that's as old as baseball and hot dogs.
I mean, it's funny because he's a bandicoot, and he dances when he finishes the level.
He dances, he has pants, and, you know...
No shirt.
Well, for his time, he was very like, he was like the edgy alternative to Mario. So
yeah.
Mario's the Mickey Mouse of video games. So like, he's very like,
definitely. Oh,
hi, yeah. I'm a logo of an evil corporation.
There was a game that I played on the PlayStation called Crash Team Racing friend of mine and I would just play hours and hours of, and he always beat me. I would occasionally beat him, but we just loved that game. It was so fun. I'd go over to his house, we'd play it for hours, and then I'd leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as Mary,
oh yeah, I was a big video game guy in my adolescent and preteen years, I'll say. Yeah, because like, by the time I was like a teenager, I just kind of like lost interest in video games, and like I didn't have like money for the newer systems that were coming out that my friends were playing. So I was just like,
right,
I'm going to get a guitar.
Oh, you got a guitar?
Yeah, I did that instead. And then like I played guitar for 6 months and then I joined a band.
Nice.
Yeah. And we did that. We recorded an album and it was
that's like productive, man.
It was a fun
playing
time.
Video games is not productive.
Yeah, but you know, I wish as a teenager, I still played video games, like, because my friends had them.
Yeah,
so like I wasn't missing out that much. It was just like I was more I moved on to like something else instead of being this hardcore gamer that I was when I was an adolescent and a kid. Like,
But you know, you've kept up that creativity. You're doing creativity in a lot of different ways. and music too. You've created some music for even some movies.
I did. I did for Kevin's film and released a EP like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good stuff. It's very much like your art. It's just, it's different. And we're talking about Ween. It's that kind of thing where it's just like, I'm going to do something that I want to do. I'm not going to try to directly copy something. I'm going to try to do something on my own. And that's the kind of things that sort of is cool. Because then it maybe evolves into something that's like, oh, this is a new sound.
Well, that's
this is something new.
Well, from like the outside, it looks like I'm doing my own thing. This is my own vision. This is my own thing. And it's like with the paintings, I'm like trying to rip off John Leary, really. But the way that he paints and the kind of paints he uses and the fact that he's just been doing it longer is like, his paintings are fucking phenomenal. So like I have no choice but to do it, to try and like do, that's like my interpretation of his work, kind of. And I mean, of course, it's right. Like still like it's me saying it, like circling back to that. Like maybe that kind of art is out there where it's like an abstract picture with a funny name or interesting name. It's not. There's not nothing out there that you have made. That's, you know, like I don't think I'm saying it right. Fuck, I'm tired.
No, I know what you're saying, and I think, you know, when we're talking about dumbness and the mundaneness of life. And the sometimes seemingly futileness of life, to be creative is a little bit of a way out of that, because if you create something, it feels neat and like energy, and it's like, oh, I've created something. I've taken something that is not there and created something. Mm-hmm. I've gone from nothingness to somethingness, either music or photography or film or, you know, painting or anything. That's a way, I think, for you to feel something and to feel a sense of accomplishment, that it's like, I've done something.
Yeah. And you know, like your paintings your photographies, your Polaroids are, I love them. They're so neat. You have a very good, like,
I love
shot.
That.
You have very good, like, shot composition.
Yeah. And to me, that's just so fun I like to take photos and just layer them on each other in these apps. Mm. And you find these shapes and things. And so I'm not like, I like it because it's like, it's a creative thing. And so I think I'm not making money off of it, but it's fun.
Yeah. Like you don't have to monetize the things that you love now.
Right.
That is something that I want to do, because I do want to do like this. I want to paint. I want to fucking create films and shit,
right,
and music for a living. That's what I would like to do. But right now it is my hobby, and like it, I hate even referring to it as that. And maybe that's pretentious. I don't know. Maybe when I'm really,
but you know, exhausted. I think the reason we're exhausted is because, and I like my job. I mean, I like being a counselor, but part of the exhaustion is having to do that 40 hours a week, because I don't have 40 hours of clients a week. A lot of times I'm just doing mundane stuff. Mm-hmm. So if I could see like 20 hours of clients a week and then have that extra 20 hours where I could stay home and work on something, then I don't think I'd be exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
But we work because we need the money to support whatever we want to do. So it's like you work doing something maybe that you like, but you don't love, so that you can do the stuff you want to do on the evenings. But then you're so tired, it's hard to do the stuff.
Yep. That's absolutely it. Like that is exactly that's the vicious cycle of trying to do anything creative and monetize it. And it's like, it just kind of seems like with any trade job like that, where it's like a plumber, electrician, like there's always like slow season, so you always have to have like this side hustle, which has been so instilled into our culture.
Yeah,
we have an entire culture of it, and I know I've mentioned this on the past episode, but I can't get over it.
Yeah, fucking side hob. You know, the people that are lucky enough, and I feel like I'm not angry that they're lucky enough, but the people that are lucky enough to be able to do creativity as their thing and make enough money to continue that thing, that's cool because that's what they do. They do their thing. And they get to sit around and create. And so an artist or a musician or a filmmaker or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just look at some of the stuff like Tim Heidecker does. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Heidecker? But they just do, they sit around and they, is it Heidecker? Heidecker? Of like Tim and Eric. I mean, he does all this stuff. And it's just ridiculousness. It's fun. And he can do that, I guess, because he makes enough money. Or like the guy that's on Reno 911. Yeah, that looks like just a blast to make.
Yeah, they just like keep coming back with Reno 911 too. And I was actually reading about Tim Heidecker today. So that's funny that you mentioned him because I do watch his podcast on Office Hours. It's really good if you've never watched it. So shout out to Tim Heidecker. Maybe he'll
If you're listening, Tim, we want to get in the Tim Heidecker business.
We got a great episode about hemorrhoids that just aired.
Right. I mean, so to me, that's maybe the way the world should work is that you can be compensated for what you love. And then, so like if you and I had, we didn't have to worry about money. We could hire some people to film us doing stuff. And so we have these ideas, but it's so hard to do these ideas because you have to fit it in your other life. And so you have to do it over the weekend and you have to worry how much it's going to cost, and how we're going to fund this and all that stuff. And if you didn't have that, you just do it and you just film stuff and then you edit it together and release it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the dream anyways, but it's not the reality. It's it is like this two separate lives. By day I work an office job, but by night I'm a weirdo.
You know what one of my dreams is? Because I feel like I've got some talents, but I feel like one of my talents is just sort of, I don't know. I would love to have enough money so I could like fund people like yourself or some of our friends or whatever and just say, here's $100,000, go do something with it. And I'd just like to be around while it's happening. I'd like to watch it happen.
See, it sounds like you just want to be a producer, Jeff, and that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the, I've made movies. I don't like the whole planning and all that stuff, but I like to be
well, a producer,
involved, like maybe playing a role or whatever. Hmm. Yeah. Producer.
Yeah. But I mean, or a financer, because like at that point, it's just
financier.
Like, financier. Because I mean, at that
and you
point,
know what I would do? I would totally be hands off in the sense of, I'm going to give you money, you do what you want to with it, and you don't have to pay me back. I just want to be in on it. I want to watch and have fun with you.
See, Jeff, it sounds like you need to be like an executive.
Is that what an executive does?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what any of them actually really do.
I'm unclear on how all this works. But, you know, like the old system where, like, you know, an old widow would, like, take in a composer and say, hey, I'm going to let you write your music and you can live here and I'll fund your life. Oh, and you just do your music.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love that. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Jeff. Let's help you get enough money so you can do that.
Yeah. And you, my friend, would be one of the first people I would fund.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jeff. I'm glad you have a lot of faith in me to do something worthwhile with that money.
You're one of the most creative people I know. I mean, you're involved in so many different things. You have a good energy and you're not mean. You're not like, you just want to do stuff, you know, and it's just,
I do,
you know, and you make things happen. It's like, I would never recorded another one of these because I'm just lazy. And it's like, you're like, hey, we're going to do one of these. And I'm like, I don't know. And then when I do it, I feel so much better. So it's like a favor. You're like, you're just keeping me on a schedule.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know. That's what I've had to do. I've had to keep myself on the schedule, some schedule, because otherwise it's not worth it. It's not.
Yeah.
Like, Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to describe it in a way that isn't, like, super depressing. Because normally I would just say... I would probably have already ended it if I wasn't creating stuff or doing creative things.
Yeah.
But that's very...
But I think that's what creative people have to do. You have to have some discipline. You have to do it, and you have to do it over and over because you have to... It takes a long time usually for something to catch on, and you might try 50 things and only one of them catches on, and then you can do the other things.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to do it. You have to go to the club where two people are there, they're drunk, and you have to sing your songs, and then you have to do it again for no money finally somebody notices you and says, "Oh, we'll pay you to do these songs."
Yeah, we've had stuff like that happen when I was in a band. They wanted to throw darts at us. So when the owner told us that, me and Silas simulated a lewd act on stage.
Nice.
where Silas pretended to act like he was sucking my dick.
Is Silas the wrestler?
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Silas.
See, so like Silas is like actually getting paid, I assume, something to do what he's doing now.
Yeah, he is. He's signed and oh, there's the dog. yeah, he's getting paid to do all his wrestling stuff now. He's signed with the NWA.
With the Billy Corgan.
With William Corgan. That's right, Jeff.
William Corgan, who I saw recently. You put did, on a yeah. monster show. Smashing Pumpkins, if you're listening to us, we'd love to open for you, do our podcast as an opening act. I'm sure the crowd would love it.
Not a band at all. It's just like, and now opening up for the Smashing Pumpkins. It's everything is
Jeff
dramatic.
And Tyler.
The podcast.
And we just talk shit for an hour before, you know.
There's a lot of we'll try and bring him out, but he won't come out.
We'll try to do a musical episode at least.
Oh yeah. Oh, do we have to sing everything? Because that sounds
No. We'll just talk, but we'll talk about music.
Okay.
We'll talk about how traumatic it is to go to a concert, and it is sort of traumatic to go to a concert.
Ooh, tune in next week, folks, as we talk about going to a concert is traumatic.
So I'm going to talk about the worst opening act I have ever seen. And it just is because of one member of this band is sort of cheap. So saw Kiss. I think I paid about $100 a ticket, good tickets in front of the stage. And so instead of a band of any type, and I mean, any band is better than no band. They had a painter. And this painter was one of them fast painters. Uh-huh. That paints really fast to music, but then he paints like he basically just throws paints and stuff. And obviously there is talent, but you don't go to see a rock and roll band to see a painter open for the band. And my thought was Gene Simmons just didn't want to pay a real opening band. So they had a painter and he makes three paintings and that's his act. That was it. Oh, and one of them is of Kiss. It was terrible.
So, yeah, hold on. This is very surreal for me. So, you're saying that Kiss had an opening act that was just a dude painting to
one
music?
Guy.
One guy just painting?
One guy with a big canvas painting. And he is one of those... He paints fast, so it's like a caricature artist. So he paints, he starts slapping paint on, and then you're like, I don't know what it is. And then it's like, it's Mick Jagger. Woo! new canvas.
He'd even paint.
Who is it? Oh, it's Kiss.
Yeah, he'd even paint anyone from Kiss.
Well, he did paint Kiss. So he did three paintings, and I don't remember who they were, but the last one was Kiss. And then Kiss sells that painting, auctions it off, for more cash for them. So they sell the painting of that night on their website so that they can make more cash.
Oh, so the painter doesn't even get to keep his own fucking painting.
I'm sure he got paid something, but I mean, yeah, it's not an opening act. That's not an opening act.
I mean, technically it was. Like, everyone, like, did everyone sit and watch him?
You know, I think there was a lot of rage. Or people were just like, I'm going to get loaded, so I'm going to go get me three of them $10 beers.
Hell yeah. Hey, I mean, I could get down to just getting drunk and watching some dude paint what is potentially Mick Jagger.
So Kiss is a band that I think is fun to watch, but they have become so corporate and so like at the end of the show, and spoiler alert, Paul destroys a guitar. He always destroys a guitar, and he used to throw it out in the audience. You know what he does with it now?
What does he do?
They sell it. They auction it off. So you can pay 10 grand to get the broken guitar that he does at the end of the concert. He used to throw it out in the audience.
Yeah.
But now you pay for that. And it's not even... So they do a switcheroo. He's playing his good guitar. He switches it off, like, sort of to the guy in the back when Gene's, like, throwing out blood or something. And then he comes out with the fake guitar that he breaks, you know, just the piece of crap guitar. So it's not even a real guitar. It's just like a cheapo guitar that's worthless that they sell for 10 grand.
Oh my God. He didn't even play it for 5 minutes.
No, he plays like a chord on it and then he just busts it up.
Oh man.
Played guitar from the Kiss concert, broken up.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, they've always been that way though. Like they'd sell anything.
No, they do sell anything. I mean, they had a coffin and all that stuff, but I mean, it's just like, in up until that time, I guess until this most recent tour, they would throw it in the audience. So somebody actually got a cool souvenir. It's like he'd throw it in pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd get the headboard or the whatever. And now it's just like, I'm selling it to you. You can come backstage and we'll take a picture with you.
Oh, man. I mean,
Gene will fill you up.
$500 and Gene will cop a fill.
Jim will cop a feel, male or female.
Doesn't matter. You know, I think it's reached its logical conclusion, Jeff. What do you think?
I think so. It's maybe our most depressing episode ever.
I don't know. Like, I think it's been oddly, like, hopeful. We talked about...
Yeah.
We talked about being exhausted. We talked about your disdain for Crash Bandicoot and video games.
Yeah.
And creating and...
That's true. And the worst opening act we've ever seen.
And the worst opening act you've ever seen. I mean...
Yeah. Have you seen a bad opening act?
Yeah, I have. I think it was like this opener for Gwar.
Okay.
Called Mobile Death Camp, I think is what it was called. But like, I just did not... Or maybe it was them or the other guys that were like... They were like Reddit atheists, so it was like... The very just like holier than thou atheist, like,
gotcha.
You're dumb because I'm smart. And it's like, okay.
Gotcha.
Like they had stickers.
Red atheist.
Yeah, they had stickers that had a Bible on it with a jizz stain on it. And it said the second coming of Christ. Like shit like that. That was just dumb.
Yeah. Too clever.
Yeah, too fucking clever. You know, and speaking of clever guys. This has been the podcast. We're exhausted.
We're exhausted. We are. This is the best we can do this week.
This is.
If you tune in next week, we promise you at least 2% more energy.
Yeah. Hopefully, I think so.
Or your money back.
Or your money back, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
From all of us here at Everything Is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Jeff.
And take care of yourself and go get some sleep.